Glad he is, amen. I'm glad the Lord made the difference. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 13. I appreciate her singing that, despite having some allergy issues. And I told her it'd be all right if she squeaks and cracks. Amen, it'll still sound good to me, amen. All right, Genesis chapter number 13 tonight. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to you and then try to be a blessing tonight from this, from the Bible. We're going to be all over the Bible. But primarily, we're going to draw our text from Genesis in chapter number 13. Verse number 1, the Bible says this, "And Abram went up out of Egypt." Notice that when you leave Egypt, which is a type of the world, it's always in the direction of up. They always go down to Egypt, and they go up out of Egypt. Notice your wording in your King James Bible. The Bible says, "He and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, he had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen." And look at what he said. I love the verbiage, the lingo, the phrases in your King James Bible, because they're so up to date to you and I. Look at what he said. "For we be brethren," amen? And so that's what I want to preach on tonight. I want to preach on tonight, "We be brethren." The Bible has a lot to say about the brotherhood. And the Bible has a lot to say to you and I about what it means to be a brother and a sister in Christ. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to take a journey through here a little bit. And I'm going to show you a few other passages here. And then we'll give you the outline on the subject tonight of "We Be Brethren." 1 Peter chapter number 2. I'll get there in a second myself. Verse number 17. Here's what Peter said. He said, "Honor all men," 1 Peter 2, verse 17. "Honor all men," look at what he said here, "love the brotherhood." You see that in your Bible? Love the brotherhood. Look at chapter 1, verse number 22. I'm trying to show you a pattern here, and it's all the way through your Bible. Verse number 22 of 1 Peter chapter number 1. The Bible says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." In our world, you and I are the minority. We are not the majority. I was reading through Psalms the other day, and there's a great verse in Psalm 105 and verse number 12. And here's what it said. The Bible says, "When they were but a few in number," talking about those that were and going through the wilderness there, "they were few in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it." The truth is tonight that you and I, in comparison to the population of a world of almost, I believe, 9 billion people, you and I are not the majority, we are the minority, but the truth is tonight, we need each other. There is no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. Go back to Genesis chapter 13, and I want to look at some things here, because Lot was Abram's nephew. The Bible says about Abram that he was a very rich man, and Abram's nephew, his name was Lot. You know about Lot, but that was Abram's nephew by blood. They were blood kin. That was his brother's son. But later on in your Bible, we're going to see it in just a little while, that Lot was not only his nephew by blood, but he was his brother by faith. there is this thing in the Bible, the pattern of this thing called a brotherhood. And our faith in God makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. And in the text in Genesis chapter number 13, Abram behaves like a brother. And we're going to see in just a little bit that Lot did not behave like a brother. And when God saves us, He changes us. And when God saves us, He, by the way, everything ought to change in our life. The way we think, the way we walk, the way we dress, the way we talk, the way we process things, the way we treat people. And our relationship with each other is different than our relationship per se with our coworkers or with our neighbors, people that you work with. Those are people that you love and that you work with. You spend more time with the people you work with than you do with your own children and even with your church family. But there's something different tonight with the brotherhood. And we're going to see that tonight, what the Bible says about it. Hold your place there in Genesis 13, but turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In verse number 3, I'm laying a groundwork here, but I want to show you because maybe some of you ladies say, well, I'm a sister, and I'm not a brother because I'm a female. Well, look at what Paul said to the church in Philippi in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 3. He calls out some of these ladies. Verse number 3, the Bible says this, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers." Listen, ladies, you are a fellow laborer if you're in this thing. And the Bible says, whose names are in the book of life. If you study the military, you'll find out that the Marine Corps has a saying, and Brother Brad's here, it's the few, the proud, the Marines. There is a camaraderie in each branch of service. The Navy SEALs have a saying that they say, long live the brotherhood. There's a difference between just being a member of the military in general and being one of the elite special forces. And so they seclude themselves and they call themselves a brotherhood. In Philippians in chapter number 3, if you got your place there, I lost it, but I'll get there in a second. Look at what he said here. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 1, he said, "Finally, what's the next word? Brethren." Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1. He said, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord." Look at what he said. "My dearly beloved." Can you feel the affection of the Apostle Paul as he's describing the brotherhood? Today, people take relationships so lightly, don't they? People take church so flippantly and they just kind of, you know, take it or leave it. But I'm saying tonight, God has this thing set up tonight in such a way that you and I, when we got saved, we got put in the body of Christ, but there's a difference between being in the body of Christ and the brotherhood and the sisterhood that God gave to us. When we join a local assembly, we join a local brotherhood and a local sisterhood called a local church. And I love every church. I preach in churches all across the world in a 12-month period of time, and I thank God for them. But there's no group of people like this group of people. You say, why? Because you're my brethren. Now, they're my brethren, and you're my brethren. But tonight, we're going to study what Bible brotherhood is and the responsibility that you and I have as a Bible believer to be a brother or a sister, the Bible brotherhood or the Bible sisterhood. We can say that tonight. And the example here is found in the first mention where Abram, the first time the word brethren is mentioned, is right here in Genesis chapter number 13. And Abraham said, the reason why we can't fight, we can't have a division between your herdmen and my herdmen, is because we be brethren. Now, it was more than just a relationship. He didn't say, you're my nephew. But he said, we're brothers. We be brethren. And Abraham was a good brother. So let me give you a few things tonight about what brethren are to do. Number one, Brethren are to put brethren first. Brethren put brethren first. You can listen here in Philippians. I'm going to go back to the Philippians. But in Philippians, in chapter number 2, in verse number 25, he speaks about how that they are fellow soldiers. In the book of Philemon, he says, in verse 2, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier. You know what I found out about the brotherhood is you and I can go across the world. We don't have to stay in Texas. You can go to Bolivia. You can go to Papua New Guinea. You can go to Germany. You can go to Canada. You can go down to wherever you want to where there's people and they're saved by the grace of God and they love Jesus Christ and they love the Bible. And you know what they are? They are brothers and sisters in Christ. They might speak a different language. They might be a different skin color. They might have a different culture. They might be on the opposite side of the world. But you know what I found out? That you and I can serve God with some people. And when you get around them, you might not even be able to communicate with them. But the Jesus in you loves the Jesus in them. And the Jesus in them loves the Jesus in you. And man, you just have sweet fellowship one with another. I've been in buildings before where we preached and we couldn't really talk to each other, but the Lord just kind of came in there and settled in. Man, I'd go down to the altar and somebody come down to the altar. We can't talk to each other, but we just start hugging and crying. You say, what's going on? We just know, hey, you're a brother, I'm a brother. We serve the same God. He's meeting with us, amen. And so we're going to just love God together. And I love you because you love Jesus Christ. Brethren, put brethren first. Listen, when Paul said there in Philemon, verse number 2, he said, to our beloved Apphia and of Archippus and fellow soldier. And the Apostle Paul said that about some people that really you and I don't know much about. But listen, Paul called them, said, man, these two, they fellow soldiers. I don't know, man, that would have done something for me. To hear the Apostle Paul himself to say something like that about me, I thank God for some men that put some confidence in me. Isn't that a blessing when somebody believes in you and somebody brags on you? Listen, we ought to be in the ministry of trying to be an encourager. Because we live in a world where people are so discouraged. People are walking around like question marks, man. I mean, they're discouraged. You don't know what people are going through. So listen, approach this thing with the idea that we're going to put somebody else first and we're going to do what we dead level can do, amen, to try to be a blessing because we are a brother and a sister in Christ. Every person on earth is seeking a true brotherhood. Did you know that? In prison, Brother John goes, you know what they have? They have gangs. I don't know a lot about it, but I know a little bit. You know what they're doing? That they seclude themselves to this group over here, this group over here, this group over here. You know what they are? They're seeking a brotherhood. They're seeking to be accepted. And so you and I, we're in the body of Christ when we got saved, but we're also in the brotherhood of the church. And this brotherhood, it's a step above just being in the body. And Lot, he had a choice to make here. You see, Lot wasn't a good brother because brethren put brethren first. Did you see what Abraham did there in the text? Abraham stood out there and he said, I'm a brother, Lot. You're a brother. Here's all this land out there. Abraham did not use his seniority. He did not say, I'm the oldest. I'm the one with the most money. I'm the one with the most influence. You know what he did? He said, you choose. You know why? Because brethren put brethren first. Now, Lot didn't make the right choice, but Abraham was a good brother. Listen, you know what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10? Here, listen to what Paul said. He said, as we have therefore opportunity. Now listen, let us do good unto all men. Now that's a hard verse because I don't like being good to people that ain't good to me. But then this is what Paul said, especially unto them who were of the household of faith. If you see somebody that has a need, fill it. You don't have to pray about everything. Somebody, I mean, you see a brother suffering, and you got a pocket full of money, all your bills are paid and you're debt free, and Miss Brother so-and-so's over here trying to serve God, trying to do what's right, and he's barely scraping by trying to figure out how to make it, you ain't got to go fast 7 days, amen, and beg God, grab a hold of the horns of the altar and ask the Lord if he wants you to slip him $100, amen. Just slip him $100. You say, why? Because the Bible says if you have opportunity and you're able to do it, do it. Why? Because brethren, put brethren first. I'm going to give to the brother before I'm going to give to the guy on the street corner, by the way. Amen. They hang out on the street corner and say, we'll work for food, or, you know, have some kind of sob story. And I know there's some legitimate bad decisions that got somebody there. But, you know, they'll ask me, you know, you got a dollar? By the way, I like to head them up because I can see them coming. Brother Doug, I learned this a long time ago. It embarrasses my wife. If I see a homeless person coming, I know they're about to ask me for some money. Before it comes out of their mouth, I say, hey, you got $5? Amen. They know what to do. Amen. I ask them before they ask me. But I'm just saying, I'm going to give to my brothers first and my sisters because we be brethren. And brethren, number one, they put brethren first. Number two, brethren pray for brethren. Now listen to what the Bible says, because Abraham, here in the story in Genesis chapter 13 and Genesis chapter number 14, Abraham prayed for Lot. Abraham interceded for Lot even when he was a terrible brother. If you go to Genesis chapter number 18, you can read about how Abraham interceded for Lot. You know the story about Lot being down there, amen. And Abraham's talking to God about, you know, if there be this many righteous down there and this many righteous down there and this many righteous down there, amen. And I'm telling you, God, Abraham's praying. He's trying to do his part down there. His nephew's down there, and he's trying to stay the judgment of God. Moses prayed for Joshua while Aaron and Hur held up his Moses' hands, didn't he? What's the principle there is you and I. Moses was the interceder, but somebody had to be there helping the man of God, lifting up his hands. They wasn't the ones doing the praying, but they were just as important as the one that was praying, because Moses in that particular Bible story was very, very important. And while his hands were up and he prayed, he interceded, Joshua was able to prevail. David prayed. Paul prayed. The Bible says he prayed night and day without ceasing. He said this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 25. Paul said four words in the verse, brethren, pray for us. That's a heavy, heavy, simple verse. There isn't anything more valuable tonight in your life than to have somebody who is a true prayer warrior. Brother Leroy Dalrymple died this week, and Brother Leroy was a prayer warrior. He was an old-fashioned, and a lot of people didn't understand him, but he was an old-fashioned exhorter. Brother Leroy, not everybody can do it, but listen, during an invitation, especially where the Lord was moving, Brother Leroy, I loved to be in a meeting with him, because if there was people down there praying, he was one that spent all his time down on the altar praying for people. He would go from person to person to person, and he would pray for you. He could get a hold of God, and he could help a service. And man, he went home to be with the Lord, and that's just one more man of God that's not interceded on our behalf. Brother Dan Metters, Preacher Dan, he's over in Houston, and he's pretty much bedridden now. He said every morning at 6 a.m., his little Alexa goes off and tells him to pray for Brian and Kathleen Green and all the children. And he said every single morning at 6 a.m., I get down on my knees in my chair and I pray for y'all. Listen, that's a big thing, because you and I may not make it. The reason why we're here tonight, the reason why we were able to keep on going, is because somebody prayed for us. Brother Don Green prayed for my wife to get a husband. Then he went on to be with the Lord, and he said, I didn't know his name. And we'd gotten married, and he came through Shady Acres after we got married, and he said, I've been praying for you to get a husband. I found out you got a husband, but what's his name? And she said, Brian Green. And of course, he liked me because we had the same last name. Amen. But and he was a prayer warrior. Now, Brother Don had a different ministry. He would pray for 6 and 7 hours every day. Now, God don't expect you to do that, but that was the burden and the calling that God had put on that man's life. I wonder tonight, who is counting on you and I to pray for them? I wonder, my wife often says to us in just our private talk, she'll say to me, I don't think we pray for our children enough, because we'll see our children struggling in certain areas or decisions that they make. And man, anytime your kids make bad decisions, or especially when they're out of the house and you don't have any kind of control over them, the only thing you can do is pray for them. And you and I, listen, we ought to ramp up our prayer life. Get us a prayer list and pray for somebody. I believe the only reason why our marriages stay together and our ministries don't fall apart, and we have the job that we have and the children that we have and the salvations that take place, is because somewhere along the line somebody is praying for us. That's why Paul said, brethren, pray for us. Because brethren, they put brethren first, and brethren pray for brethren. These missionaries that we have, the only hope they got that they're going to make it in some of these countries is people like you and I, brethren, praying for them. Miss Melanie Ellis told a story to me and my wife at a table one time a couple years back. She said she went into town in Mount Hagen, and she said she was there and doing some business, and she got on a public bus, and things started turning sideways, and the bus broke down, and she was on the side of the road, and there was some rascals that came, and they were basically, she said, I knew that I was about to be taken and raped. And she was a single woman on the mission field. And she said, I don't know how to explain it to you, but she said, I could feel the prayers of God's people. And God orchestrated and sent some various things to stop that, some supernatural things where she knew this was God working. They knew that this was not a normal woman that they were trying to pursue. And they let off and they went on and did their own thing somewhere else. And it reminded us of just how important it is to pray for our missionaries. I talked to a man yesterday on the phone. I called Optimum. Was on the phone over an hour. Not because of the service and not because we were trying to take care of business, but this man lived in Egypt. He was in Alexandria, Egypt. He said, where do you think I'm from? I said, well, you sound like you're from the Middle East. And we started talking, and we found out he was a Muslim. And he was asking about me, and he said, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a Baptist pastor. He said, what's a Baptist? I said, really? Don't know what a Baptist is? He said, no. I said, like a Baptist church? He said, I've never heard of it. I said, is there no Baptist churches in Egypt? He said, no, I've never seen one. I don't know what it is. He said, there's Muslims, churches here, and there's like one or two Orthodox, and he said, there's a few Catholics. He said, but I said, have you ever heard of like a Nazarene or a Pentecostal? Or no. Nobody that had the truth. And I stayed on the phone with that guy over an hour and told him about Jesus. And he was so kind. But he said this to me. He said, oh, I wish I could tell you what I want to tell you, but it's against the rules, so I can't tell you my part. I said, well, that's all right. I'll tell you what I can tell you. Amen. I kept him on the phone. We had a good time. I preached the gospel to that man. Man, he got off the phone with me, and he was so kind. You could see the smile on his face. But I thought about our missionaries over there in those countries where there is no light, it's darkness, and it's a lot of violence in that Muslim world. The only hope that they have is, brethren, pray for us. Brethren, put brethren first. Brethren, pray for brethren. Number three, brethren, pursue brethren. Look at Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. There's another story here in your Bible about what the Apostle Paul, what happened to him, and the reason why he was able to make it. Because he was not a self-made man. There are no self-made men, by the way. Somebody poured into you. Somebody invested in you. Somebody prayed for you. And real brethren, as we see here in the text, will go out of their way to pursue other brethren. Acts chapter 11, verse number 25. Look at what your Bible says. Then departed Barnabas. Now Barnabas, as you know, is called the son of consolation, which means he's the son of encouragement. He's the encourager. He departed to Tarsus. Why did he do that? For to seek Saul. There was one man, a brethren, that needed somebody to pursue him. The Bible says in verse number 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. He said, I got to get him to that good church that's on fire for God. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, the brethren, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Brethren will pursue other brethren. Paul was hanging on by a thread. The disciples didn't have much confidence in him. Here he is, man. I mean, he's being persecuted. And Barnabas thought to himself, man, I know what he needs. If I can get him down to the same church that made a difference in my life, I believe it can make a difference in his life. So he left and he went down to Tarsus and he found Paul and he said, hey, you coming with me? We going down to Antioch because that church down there has got something that'll change your life. That's a whole nother message in itself, isn't it? But you and I thank God for the church, amen? And you ought to stay in the church, amen, assemble with the church. You get in the church and stay there for a little while. It wasn't just one or two services. The Bible says that they stayed there a whole year, and God used that year to turn the Apostle Paul's life upside down. But the reason why he made it is because Barnabas pursued. He said, you got to come with me. And I remember a few years back, my father-in-law, when a good friend of ours, Mackenzie Manarese, she got sick and got cancer. She was over in a hospital in Philadelphia. My father-in-law was all the way up in Detroit, Michigan, preaching a revival. And I remember he got the news that that little girl, of course, she wasn't really a little girl. She was in her, like, 21, 22 years old, had cancer. And he left that meeting that he was preaching, told the preacher, he said, I got to go early. We're going to have to cut it short. He got in the car and drove all night long from Detroit, Michigan, all the way to Philadelphia. He said, why? So he could go inside that hospital room, sit down with Brother Gary Manarese and Miss McKenzie and Miss Michelle, and just be there and just pray for them. Just be there and sit there and cry with them. Because why? That's what brethren do. We go. We don't leave brethren to just, you know, go out there and say, well, you're on your own. That's not what brethren do. When I went through one of my hardest trials of my life, and I don't give the details and talk about it, I'm telling you, my life was torn upside down. I'll never forget, laid in my floor, my heart was broken. I didn't know what to do. My friend Joshua Harris found out about it. He lived in Albuquerque. He drove all day long to where I was at and showed up at my door there in Portales, knocked on the door. I opened the door. When I saw him, I couldn't believe it. I was like, what are you doing here? He said, I heard. He said, man, I just came to spend the day with you. We walked in and we cried and he hugged me. We went out to eat. We talked. He said, why'd he do that? Because that's what brethren do. Brethren pursue brethren. Look at Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter number 14. Lot got in trouble. And Lot got in trouble because he made some really bad decisions. He chose the well-watered plains of Sodom, and because of that, he finds himself there because there's a battle of the kings. There's these four kings that are in battle, and the head guy is mentioned there. His name is Chedor Laomer or something. I don't know. It's a long name. But he's got these three other kings that are going with him, and they go up there and they take over Sodom, and they get Lot in the process. They get all the spoil there, and there was one of the people there in Sodom that broke loose and got away. He fled the capture of these kings in Sodom. And he runs all the way and he finds Abraham. And this is what he tells Abraham in verse number 12. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelled in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped. There he is. And he told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, brother of Aner. These were the confederate with Abraham. And when Abraham heard, now look at what the Bible says here, that his brother was taken captive. Now wait a minute, Holy Ghost. I thought this was Abraham's brother's son. Yeah, it is. But by blood, it's his nephew. But by faith, it's his brother. We be brethren. When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. I like this. I mean, they go on a special ops, black ops, nighttime mission, amen. They said, get your guns, boys. Get all your ammo. Suit up. We going to war. He got his he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318 of them, and pursued them unto Dan, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, nighttime mission, amen. Smote them. He said, I just don't believe in violence. Well, you don't believe the Bible, amen. And pursued them unto Hobah, which is of the left hand of Damascus, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought back again his brother Lot, and his goods and the women also, and the people. Abraham risked his own safety, even though Lot had chosen to live in Sodom, and he rescued Lot. And by the way, he didn't take credit for all this. He gave it all back to the king of Sodom. And then after that, Melchizedek shows up, and the Bible says that Abraham paid tithes of all. Amen. He didn't just keep it all for himself, but he gave of the first fruits of his increase. You say, why was he such a wealthy man? I believe because he knew how to give. He was a man that knew how to tithe, but he was a man that was one that would pursue other brethren. Even though Lot had done bad, you say, well, they made their own decision. They ought to just have to sit in it and ought to suffer the consequences. That's really not Bible. Because he went, the Bible says, and he said, hey, we got to get Lot. Don't matter if he made the wrong decision. We be brethren, and brethren pursue other brethren. At the very least, we can call them. Say, hey, brother, how you doing? We could text them, email them. Because real Christians realize that we are in this together and we cannot do this alone. We be brethren, and when brethren get in trouble, we ought to go after them. Not just say, well, I'm just going to leave them there. They can just suffer their own consequences. Thank God somebody came after me when I made a blunder. When I fell and I messed up and I didn't make the right decision, somebody came after me. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody said, hey, you need to get up and go on for God. You need to quit doing that. You need to quit that sinning. You need to go in a different direction. But they didn't just leave me to die in my own sin. They pursued after me. Oh, thank God for some brethren that will pursue other brethren because we be brethren. Number four, brethren not only pursue brethren, brethren prosper brethren. Abraham gave Lot the best choice, didn't he? He didn't take the well-watered plains himself. He let him have the best because he prospered other brethren. If you study 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, and we won't turn there for sake of time, you know what the Bible says about that church? The Bible says that they were giving out of their poverty so that they could prosper other poor believers. That's what missions is. A missionary quits his job, hits the deputation trail, and unless they're independently wealthy, they have to go to local churches so that brethren can give to get them to the mission field that God called them to. Because that's what missions is. It's brethren prospering brethren, so that when they get to the mission field, they can tell and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to a lost and dying world. I like what 3 John verse number 2 says. He said, beloved, I wish above all things. Wow, what is it, John, that you wish? That thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. There's three things there that he said that I want you to prosper in. Number one, he said, I want you to prosper financially. He said that thou mayest prosper. That's financially. I want you to do good. I want your business to make a whole lot of money. I want you to be able to buy more than you've ever bought, give more than you've ever gave. Amen. I wish above all things that you must prosper financially. I wish above all things that you would be in health. He said, I want you to prosper physically. I don't want you to be sick. I want you to be a healthy man and a healthy lady, because we be brethren, financially, physically. And then he said, even as thy soul prospereth. He said, I want you to prosper spiritually, financially, physically, and spiritually, because brethren prosper brethren. Brethren pull their resources to propagate the gospel around the world. One man cannot support all the missionaries that we support. It takes all the brethren. It takes the $1 a week and the $2,000 a week. You say, why? Because we be brethren. And God keeps a different record book than we would. Amen. He uses a little bit different scale and a different math than you and I do. So brethren, they prosper brethren. Number five, brethren part as brethren. There are times, believe it or not, that you and I as brethren are going to have a falling out with each other. I hate it. I wish it didn't happen, Brother Doug. But sometimes brethren just get in a fight. Sometimes they don't always see things eye to eye. Sometimes they have disagreements. But you know you can disagree as brethren, not as enemies. Look at it. Acts chapter 12, verse number 25. Acts chapter 12, verse number 25. The Bible says this. Listen, and if you don't have to turn if you don't want to, but I encourage you to turn because we're going to look at about four passages of Scripture, and I want to show you what happened here. Acts chapter 12 and verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And look at what happened. And they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, all this happens from chapter 13 through the first 12 verses. And then in verse number 13, chapter 13, verse number 13, look at what happened with John Mark and these two men. Verse 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So somewhere along the way, he couldn't hack it. I don't know what was going on. I don't know if he was missing mama's cooking. I don't know if they were just too hard on him. The journey was too hard. But he finally said, you know what? I'm going back home to Jerusalem. Now look at Acts chapter number 15. Acts chapter number 15. Verse number 37. The Bible says, and Barnabas determined. Why was he so determined? Because he's the encourager to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. He said, I'm not taking him. He's a baby. He can't hack it. He's a boat anchor. He ain't coming. Verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them, Barnabas and Paul, that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And the Bible says in verse 40, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now, if you know the rest of the story, later on in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, when Paul's dying, he's writing to Timothy, and he says this. He said, take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now thank God for a Barnabas. Even though there was contention and they had to part ways, sometimes you can't serve God in the same church as somebody else that's a brother. Sometimes God says, how about this? You serve God over here, and y'all serve God over here, and y'all both serving God. I'm not favoring you over them. I'm going to use you, and I'm going to use them. And down the road, you're going to see, amen, I had the hand of God on both of y'all. Paul did a great work with Silas. No doubt he was recommended to the church. But thank God for a Barnabas that took John Mark. And down the road, Paul saw that it was not an unworthy investment. And he said, hey, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me more for the ministry. But he could have never said that unless Barnabas would have took the time to take that young man, Mark, under his wing and invest in his life as an encourager. But sometimes, brethren, they got a part as brethren. Paul was no doubt God's man and didn't have time to fool with Mark's immaturity, maybe. But thank God for a Barnabas who took time to invest in a Mark so that Paul at the end of his life could say, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You can part as brethren. They didn't talk bad about each other. They weren't trying to hurt each other. They weren't trying to, you know, getting on Facebook, trying to destroy this guy's ministry, starting a podcast over here. And Barnabas is talking about Saul and Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas talking about Barnabas and John Mark over here. Man, they're just in the business now. They're not winning souls. They're not starting churches. They're not doing a good work. They're in the business of trying to blast one another. That's not what they were doing. They parted as brethren. They agreed to disagree. The contention was real sharp, but God still had his hands on both men. Isn't that good? Brethren, part as brethren. Amen. We be brethren. Number six, brethren pay respect as brethren. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm almost done. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 15. Brethren pay respect as brethren. Peter says here about the Apostle Paul in verse number 15, "An account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in the which are some things hard to be understood," and so on and so forth. You know what Peter was saying? Peter, first of all, said that Paul is brother Paul. He said, our beloved brother Paul. He didn't just say our Paul, but he called him a brother. He's a brother. He's a brother. He's an apostle. He's an epistle writer. He's a servant. He's a fellow soldier. He's a fellow laborer. And here's what the Bible says about you and I. Because we're brethren, we ought to pay respect to each other as brethren. I'm going somewhere with this. Here's what Paul said to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 13, 12, he said, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." Now, you and I in America don't do that. That would be weird, especially in Southeast Texas, if I came up to Brother Lauren and gave him a kiss at church and said, "Brother Lauren, it's good to see you, brother." He'd be a little shocked. And I'd frankly be shocked if he did it to me. But Paul said, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." It was a different culture, a different day. You say, "Well, how do we do that now in America?" Well, we do it with a handshake. "Hey, brother, good to see you." Or maybe we pat each other on the back. Sometimes we'll give each other a hug. If Brother Gary Brown's here, he's going to give you a big old handshake and beat the devil out of you, amen? Give you a back adjustment, amen? Or send you to Brother Clark, one of the two. Greet one another with a holy kiss. In Romans, Paul said it this way. Paul multiple times said to salute them. Salute the brethren. Greet them with a holy kiss. Give them a handshake. Pay respect because we're brethren. There's nothing holy about familiarity. Now listen tonight. Because brethren pay respect. We ought to honor each other with respect as a brother and sister in Christ. Men are not to inappropriately hug a woman. Sometimes you know, if there's someone real close and there's an age gap and there's an understanding, there's exceptions to rules, right? You know, maybe a little side tap on the shoulder or something like that, but we be brethren. And if you'd keep in your mind, men, that the women in the church, that's your sister. So it helps you view them a little bit differently. And it keeps you from committing immorality with somebody in the church because it's not just another woman, but that's your sister. And that would be like spiritual, you know. It's not good. Now listen. The kind of Christianity that breaks rank and brotherhood, it doesn't breed respect, it breeds contempt. Again, in the military, whenever you would address another one of the brethren, if you will, the brotherhood, you would address them correctly. You wouldn't just, if Brother Brad was in boot camp, and I don't know which one of your drill instructors' names was, but I reckon if you would have went in and talked to one of your drill instructors and just called him by his first name, it probably wouldn't have went very well. And in every branch of service, it would be addressed as lieutenant and captain and colonel and master chief and corporal and major and general and admiral and sergeant and so on. Because there's an element of respect. There's a reason why you and I don't call our pastor, "Hey, Roger, what's going on, Rog?" Does that just fly all over you? Even me doing that as an example just makes me mad. Because we be brethren. I even call Brother John, Brother John. He's younger than I am. It's Brother Doug. I don't say, hey, Doug. It's just kind of weird, isn't it? You say, why? Because we're not that familiar, and I want to pay respect. And I know we're brothers and sisters, and I know tonight that sometimes people, you know, they don't mean nothing by it. But the reason why we preach the Bible and we point these things out is because maybe you're like, man, I kind of need to tighten up on that and do a little bit better. I grew up in a church where, man, I didn't call someone by their first name. I'd have got called out on it. But there's a respect. It's Brother Bo. It's Brother Clark. Amen. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Because when we greet one another, we do it with a holy kiss. We do it with respect. Even as our beloved brother, Paul. As a matter of fact, when Paul got saved, his name in the same chapter went from just Saul to Brother Saul. Amen. You and I are brothers, and this is the brotherhood. And brethren, pay respect. I'm done tonight. Brethren, pardon each other as brethren. Look at Genesis 45, and we'll be finished tonight. Genesis chapter number 45. I hate to just cut this one off because this is such a needed point. You know what else brethren do? And I'm done tonight. Brethren, they pardon each other. They forgive each other as brethren. Your brothers are going to hurt you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to do you wrong. They're going to let you down. They're going to come short. Some of them are going to hurt you real bad. You stay in church long enough, you're going to get hurt, not by somebody in the world that's lost. You're going to get hurt somebody right here in the church. Joseph, after all he had been through, and we know the story of Joseph with his brethren. Look at what he said in Genesis 45, verse number 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your souls by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and so on and so forth. Look at chapter 50 and verse number 17. And this will be the last scripture we read tonight. Chapter 50, verse 17. The Bible said, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive. Look at this. Forgive. I pray thee now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring it to pass this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Brethren, pardon each other as brethren. And you and I as soldiers in the battlefield sometimes combat and we're in a spiritual war. Sometimes it does not always bring out the best in the brotherhood, does it? Sometimes we go through things and you don't realize what people are going through at the house and at the work. And sometimes emotions are like roller coasters, amen. They always, you know, they go up and they go down, they go up and they go down. And sometimes, you know, they come out and we hurt each other with something that's a harsh word. And I like what one man said. He said, it was an old preacher one time. He said this, he said, I never judge a man by his last message, no matter what he preached, or his comments about me. There's a lot of wisdom in that. Because we be brethren. And the only way to truly have, brethren, is to be one, and to learn how to pardon and forgive brethren. You say, I don't believe in that. Well, pride, Gernall said this, will make you a stranger at the throne of grace. And you're going to need some grace in your life, and you're going to need God to hear your prayers. One of the most encouraging things about the Christian life is to know that we have the Lord, thank God, and we have some brothers in arms marching with us in this battle for the Lord. So tonight, we be brethren. Amen. Let's stay with each other, pray for each other, forgive each other, pursue each other. Amen. Pick each other up, lift each other's burdens, take care of each other's needs, encourage each other to serve God, stay in the fight. Listen, sometimes we might have to, as the Bible says, you know, faithful the wounds of a friend. Sometimes as a friend we might have to say something that's kind of wounding, but we do it because we love each other. But let's stay in this thing and cross the finish line together. I don't want to cross alone. One of the most miserable people in all the world is not just a lost person. It's a saved person that's not a part of a brotherhood. Amen. Thank God for it tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the brotherhood and the sisterhood of this church and all of these good folks that's been faithful through these years, young and old, rich and poor. Father, so many backgrounds, so many different lifestyles and upbringings and, Lord, hometowns and, God, so many things in here that we have different. But, Father, I thank you tonight that we have the same Heavenly Father. And we have the same direction, and we have the same Bible, and we have the same goal, and that's to glorify and honor you with our lives and to finish well. Bless your folks tonight. Give them a good Thursday, a good Friday, a good Saturday, and then bring us back on Sunday ready to serve you with all of our hearts. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,